The Boston Celtics fight hard but lose in Philly. But Marcus Smart gets into it with Joel Embiid, and that's what we're talking about on this Thursday Locked On Celtics. Mills, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making the show part of your daily routine. Wherever you're going, whatever you're doing right now as you listen, thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. I hope it does brighten your day ever so slightly. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics. I host this Locked On Celtics podcast on a daily basis, Monday through Friday. And I'm also the author of the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which is now available at bookstores everywhere. Going to follow the standard format for the post games here. Segment one, the good. Segment two, the bad. And I'm going to save the one really bad thing, the free throw disparity, which really got Marcus Smart upset and set off a little battle, I don't want to say war of words, but a battle of words between him and Embiid. You'll hear Marcus Smart, you'll hear Joel Embiid in the third segment. The Celtics, in game one of the mini-series against the Philadelphia 76ers, lose 117-109. The Celtics started out cold, but they picked things up, except for Kemba, really. Kemba was pretty good throughout. They handled their business in the second and third quarters. Kemba, Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown carried the offense for basically the whole game. They all took turns in that regard. Aside from Embiid, I think they did a pretty decent job defensively. Ben Simmons did not look good. Tobias Harris, aside from a big first quarter and a couple of buckets in the fourth, was mostly held in check. But in the fourth quarter, the Celtics went cold. They shot 8 of 24 in the fourth, 1 for 9 from deep, and no free throws. Zero free throws taken in the fourth quarter. That's part of what that third segment is going to be about. So the Celtics dropped this one 117-109. They had leads a couple times in the fourth quarter. They had their opportunities. Honestly, not really a concern. Just my initial reaction to this. There's no Tatum. Kemba Walker was spectacular in this game and limited to 20 minutes, 21-43 officially. And he was 6 of 15, 5 of 9 from 3. He had 19 points and 6 assists. Like that, probably 10 more minutes of Kemba Walker changes the entire dynamic of this game. Like, we saw a lot in this game that the Celtics can hang their hats on. No Jason Tatum, who, by the way, may return on Friday. He was cleared. He's no longer in the health and safety protocol. So that's good news. If we're starting here, the good section, how about the good being Jason Tatum cleared out of the protocol and now is ramping up after almost 2 weeks out? And he'll have to go through a couple more tests before he's officially cleared to return. But he could possibly play on Friday. So that adds another, obviously, very good player and changes a lot. Kemba Walker, also good, like I said. And obviously, he looked like his normal self for the most part. He went out there. He played, again, pain-free. After the game, he was asked, hey, what can you do now that you couldn't do before? And he said, everything. That was his answer. So he looks right now like himself. Still, on a day-to-day basis, you kind of want to see, all right, it gets a little tedious question-wise, and I'm sure that he's probably sick of answering these questions, and Brad Stevens probably is like, yeah, here come the Kemba questions again. But tomorrow after practice, tomorrow afternoon, we're going to ask. So, Kemba, two games, how does he feel? How did it hold up? And what's the plan? And like, it's going to be 20-ish minutes somewhere around here. He played, like I said, 21-43. That's going to be about the plan moving forward. There's no reason to push it. There's no reason to go nuts and say, oh, well, he looks good now. Let's make it 25. Let's make it 30. It's patience. Patience for him. Patience for the Celtics, who I'm sure would love to use him more. But patience for us. Patience for the fans to say, look, the whole thing here with Kemba is to keep him pain-free and not go too crazy in January when there's April, May, June, July. Like that's the goal. So Kemba looked good. Now, weirdly, because of this minutes restriction and Brad Stevens still wanted to win this game, he made this decision to not start him in the third quarter. And he played him at the end of the third quarter, took him out briefly in the fourth, and he wanted him to finish the game. He did that so he could stay within the restriction, but still have Kemba finish the game. And Kemba said that was tough. You know, you sit out, you want to. He came out in the middle of the second quarter. Obviously, the rest of that quarter, halftime, and most of the third quarter, it's a long time for somebody to sit. But Kemba still came back and looked pretty good, even though it was not ideal. And I thought that Kemba was a very good sign for his second game back. His chemistry with Daniel Theis was amazing. Theis, and they needed this performance from Theis because Tristan Thompson, Grant Williams found their way into the second segment of this podcast. Theis was great, 23 points, 11 rebounds. He obviously struggled a bit to guard Joel Embiid, but you know, he was making up for it on the other end. Theis got 11 of his points courtesy of Kemba Walker. Kemba had 6 assists, 5 went to Theis, one of them was for 3. So he helped Theis get 11 of his 23 points. They did very well together. Daniel Theis afterwards was talking about how it's easy when Kemba is getting all that attention to roll and get to spots to score. It's a little bit different than running those pick and rolls, even with Marcus Smart, because you can play off of him, and Kemba's a much scarier shooter than Marcus Smart is. And if you're running it with anybody off the bench, that's just not going to get you the same type of looks. So it's amazing how Daniel Theis, when playing the five and playing with Kemba Walker, suddenly looks pretty good. You know, that this is why I said the other day that it's a little unfair for Daniel Theis to try to be a four. It's pretty obvious. He's a five. And when Jason Tatum comes back, some decisions have to be made. Obviously, Grant Williams will not be starting. And the question is, who starts? Is it Tristan? Is it Daniel Theis? Or is it Robert Williams? Robert Williams also back cleared, like I said in yesterday's podcast, did not play. Was available but did not play in this game. I think probably matchup-wise, this was probably not the game for him to go up against Dwight Howard and Joel Embiid. But he was available for 10 to 15 minutes. So Kemba, great. Daniel Theis, also really, really good there. Jaylen Brown, also in the good column here, as I quickly get through these last couple. Jaylen Brown, basically Kemba, Jaylen, Marcus Smart took turns carrying the offense. Daniel Theis chimed in with his 23 points and 10 rebounds. I saw 11. They must have adjusted it. But he came in and just played off of those guys, played off of Kemba. But Jaylen Brown was really good. He did get cold in the fourth quarter. So he shot 10 of 24 in the game, but he was 1 of 6 in the fourth quarter. I'm sure he was arguing for some of those fouls. He was 0 of 3 from 3. So he came into the fourth quarter shooting 3 of 7 from 3, which is much better than the 3 of 10 that he finished with. Free throw wise, though, 3 of 6, and that's I think the Celtics, again, third segment for the free throw things, but the Celtics hit 65% from 3. Not only are they not getting to the line much, but they're not hitting their free throws. Did I say 3? Free throws. 13 of 20 from the line. If they were 13 of 20 from three, that would have been amazing. No, 13 of 20 from the line. They're not hitting their free throws. So 65% is just not going to cut it. And Jaylen Brown, 3 of 6. He's been better, but this is kind of like a reverting. And same with Marcus Smart, who is also in the good here, but 4 of 7 from the line. That's not great. He was 1 of 6 from three, struggling with his shot a bit, even though offensively he was really, really good in a lot of this game. Like for a while there, I thought Marcus Smart was playing maybe his best game of the season. He finished with 4 assists, 4 rebounds, a steal, only a couple of turnovers. So I thought Smart was just fantastic in carrying the Celtics offense for long stretches. There were points where he was the main guy on the floor, and he was carrying that offense while Jaylen Brown was off, while Kemba was off. Marcus Smart was doing very important offensive work carrying a bench unit, and I thought that was really good. Now, the free throws are a little bit of a concern. I hope he can get back up to speed. He's set 73% right now compared to 83.5% last year and 80% the year before. So, but it's early. You can turn things around, but just something to watch, something to keep an eye on. Up next, the bad, including please no more Jeff Teague. I'm done with Jeff Teague. I am not done with RockAuto.com. Quite the opposite. RockAuto.com belongs in this good segment because it's very good for you to save money getting your auto parts, whatever they are, through RockAuto.com. One thing you do when you repair, maintain a car, it's to save the money from bigger, you know, more expensive fixes. Okay, when you're maintaining your car, you're getting yourself some parts from that chain store in the strip mall. You don't want to spend 30 to 50 to 100% more for the same auto parts. You're going to get at rockauto.com the same piece for a lot less. For example, for a Honda Odyssey, they've got a fuel pump assembly that costs $354 at Advance, $217 at rockauto.com. That's just one way you can save money. But if you don't know what a fuel pump assembly is, you can save on your floor mats and your windshield wipers or whatever else there as well. They don't have different price tiers like these chain stores for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. I can't believe that they do that at those stores, but they do. Those stores also will change their prices based on what the market will bear, like an airline. Why? The part's done, it's made, and rockauto.com doesn't believe in that. Everybody's going to pay the same price. No membership required, no login. Just go there, cruise their catalog, which is very easy to navigate, and check it out. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts that are available for your car or truck, and here's the most important part. When you ultimately find what you're looking for at a price that's going to blow you away, make sure you write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box when you check out, so they know we sent you. That's the only way they're going to know. So please do that. It's an amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. If you play fantasy basketball, undoubtedly you're going to be looking for some advice. Do not come to me for that. I sat Jaylen Brown on the bench last night because I forgot to update my rosters. You want to go to somebody like Josh Lloyd, who people trust and is very reliable, and who is the host of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast, which is the number one fantasy basketball podcast in the world. Okay, Josh Lloyd knows what he's doing. He's going to give you tips to help you win your league. So subscribe to the number one fantasy basketball podcast, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, wherever you get your podcasts. I am a bad fantasy basketball GM. So it's very fitting that we talk about that heading into the bad from last night's loss to Philly. Headlining the bad is Jeff Teague. I'm done with Jeff Teague. I was right about Jeff Teague. I did not jinx him. He just is not very good anymore. He'll have some stretches. He'll have a game or two But Jeff Teague, I think, is toast. And Jeff Teague is lucky that Ben Simmons was a little bit tentative, because he had Teague on a couple of switches and should have torched him, and he passed out of a couple of opportunities. So Jeff Teague was not good in this game. 2 of 7, didn't take a three, 9 points, 3 rebounds, couple of assists. Just, the problem is Peyton Pritchard was not good either. 1 of 3 in 19 minutes. He did not play very well. And when the other alternative is a rookie, and like I've said multiple times, as good as Pritchard has been, and he has been phenomenal for the Celtics, there's no doubt that he's legit. He's an NBA player, but he's going to be inconsistent. And so it does raise the question of, how much time does Jeff Teague get? Like, because he's a veteran, he's going to get Brad Stevens' trust a little bit more. And Pritchard is certainly going to have some struggles, and may have extended struggles from time to time, and then go on some stretches where he's really, really, really good. So it does raise some questions here with Kemba's return. How do you want to run your starting unit? Do you trust Pritchard? Do you trust Teague? And then if you don't, then do you start Kemba and put Marcus Smart as your sixth man? And then you figure out, like, do you do Kemba, Smart, Tatum? I mean, Kemba, Tatum, Brown, one of your bigs, and then a four. It may end up that the Celtics end up getting a four via the TPE, and that person can slide into the starting role. And maybe come playoff time, you can have a starting caliber player, and you go Kemba, Tatum, Brown, TPE player, and then your center, whether it's Robert Williams, Tristan Thompson, or Daniel Tice. That could be your playoff rotation, with Smart coming off the bench and Smart being one of your closers. So just something to consider down the road. Teague was not good. I do not hold out much hope that he's going to be any kind of good for extended periods. He might have flashes, but he was not good. Neither was the starting front court, really. Grant Williams played just about 16 minutes, didn't do much. Tristan Thompson played 21 minutes, didn't do much. He had 9 rebounds, but struggled with Joel Embiid. Okay, to be fair, everybody struggles with Joel Embiid for the most part, right? Joel Embiid, we'll talk about him again in the next segment, but like him or not, it's going to be difficult to stop him no matter what. So Thompson, sure, he struggled, and you'll hear from Kemba Walker too, who admits that the bigs needed more help. So Thompson and Grant, though, they're definitely in the bad category. Basically, anybody that wasn't Smart, Jalen, Kemba, or Daniel Tice did not really perform well. And for the Celtics to get past a team like Philly without without Jason Tatum, you're going to need more than these guys just carrying you. You're going to need one of these players: Grant Williams, Tristan Thompson, Peyton Pritchard, Semi Ojeleye, Jeff Teague, Javonte Green. You need one of those guys to give you kind of like one of their outlier performances where, and Javonte did do some okay things, but you know, there's one key play where Javonte goes flying in for an offensive rebound. And because he's Javonte and he's flying, like literally flying, and goes trying to catch a putback dunk, and his momentum carries him 10 feet past the basket because he's going so fast. By the time he gets back into the play on the other end, there are mismatches, there are cross matches. Philly gets a foul, and they get points. So one of those other guys, has to step up. Now, Daniel Tice did a great job, but there still has to be one more person. Now, Friday, again, like I said, might be different because the Celtics might get Jason Tatum back. And he'll be limited, but you know what you can do? You can stagger though him and Kemba and get 40 minutes of a Kemba-Tatum hybrid, and that can help. But we'll see. So I'm going to leave it right there because the big story, I saved it for the third segment, Marcus Smart versus Joel Embiid and the referees. The free throw disparity was very bad, and I could have talked about that this entire segment, but that's going to go into it next. You'll hear directly from Marcus Smart and from Joel Embiid. If you want to lay some money on Friday's game, you can go to betonline.ag, sign up for a free account, use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. I'm going to look to see if they have any fun prop bets because that might be something that you see a kind of funny, like chances of technical fouls, Marcus Smart and Joel Embiid or something like that. Like they have that. You can lay, you know, a few bucks on technical fouls. Will Marcus Smart get ejected or something like that? Like that's the type of stuff you can find on betonline.ag. It is the one place that we trust here on the Locked On Podcast Network. They've got you covered. So go ahead and check it out. Use the promo code Locked On to get a 50% welcome bonus. That's 50%. Whatever your first deposit is, you're going to get that from them, which is just like a win right away. Now, please gamble responsibly if you are going to do this. But if you are going to gamble responsibly, then go to betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. If you want to get basketball smart, it starts with listening to the Hollinger and Duncan podcast. NBA analytics pioneer, front office insider John Hollinger joins Dunked On podcast host Nate Duncan to bring you scouting reports, game breakdowns, salary cap analysis, all of that great stuff. So subscribe to Hollinger and Duncan today wherever you get your podcasts. One of their breakdowns might be the free throw disparity. No, probably not. They're not going to talk about that stuff, but I am. The Celtics shot 13 of 20 from the line, like I mentioned, 65%. Joel Embiid shot 17 of 21 from the line, 81%. So he took one more free throw than the entire Celtics team and made four more. The Sixers overall, 36 of 45 from the line, 80%. The Celtics were outscored by 23 at the line in an 8-point loss, and the Celtics shot no fourth quarter free throws. Now, they certainly had their cases, but let's start with this. Marcus Smart had something to say about the officiating in Joel Embiid after the game.
He shot alone himself 21 free throws. Our team shot 20. Can't beat that. They shot 36 from 45. We shot 13 for 20. It's hard to win that way.
Tom Westerholm.
Marcus, that was going to kind of be my question too. I mean, how frustrating is that as a team? You know, you're obviously trying to play defense and, you know, there's just, kind of a lot of whistles going on.
I mean, it's tough. It is tough, especially when, we got our hands up a lot of the times and, he flails and he gets the call. And then down on the other end, we got our guys attacking the rim, getting a lot of contact, and we're just not getting the whistle. It's tough to play like that, and it's tough. I mean, if the roles are reversed, I do it every time. I mean, I'll be on too. If every time I threw my arms up or every time I got touched, I'm going to the free throw line. I mean, it's kind of hard not to get into a rhythm that way when you shoot 21 free throws alone and they allow you to hack on the other end. It's tough.
So word gets back to Joel Embiid of what Marcus Smart said about him flailing. So here is Joel Embiid's response.
Marcus Smart just told me that I flail a lot. Come on. I'm sure he knows himself and he knows his game too. He does a lot of that. And I don't think I do. I mean, if you watch basketball and if you're a student of the game and if you actually pay attention during the game, I mean, we all see it. Like every single foul, I get fouled. And they probably don't call all of them. Not the last one. There was 3 minutes left and I went up and that was a foul and they knew it, but they didn't call it. So there's a lot that they don't call. And there's a lot that, you know, the concurs, you have to, you know, the game is physical. Other teams tend to try to be extra physical against me. And I guess I'm just smarter than everybody else. I just take advantage of it. And I just take advantage of a lot of guarding me. You can call that, I don't know, basketball IQ. Like, if you're going to put your hand up there, I'm going to take advantage of it, and I'm going to get to the free throw line because I know that I'm a great free throw shooter, and that's a better chance for me to, you know, help the team win in those situations.
So I'll say this. They both have a point. They both have a point. The Celtics, Kemba especially, but Jaylen Brown as well, had legit cases, especially in that fourth quarter, where there were some inconsistent calls where you can say, all right, the refs let them play. All right, fine, let them play. But then on the other side, it seemed like the Sixers were getting more touch fouls. Maybe not touch fouls, but there was a bit of inconsistency there. Just overall, in general, I think you can say that the Celtics had a point that guys were getting hit and they weren't getting the foul calls. And on the other side, the foul calls that Philly was getting, they didn't seem to be quite as blatant as some of the Celtics calls. And I hate talking about the refs because this game, you know, I never believe that it comes down to the officials, because if you think it comes down to the officials, we can find probably 10 things in the game that trump that. And so this is not about blaming the officials, but speaking truth, that, yeah, there are missed calls. There are certainly missed calls. There are missed calls in every game. However, Joel Embiid is not dumb. He is smart. Now, he plays it up a little bit, says, oh, I'm smarter than everybody else. That's not true. Joel Embiid loves to be like this when things go well and he plays well and they win. If they lost, he would have been singing a different tune. But still, regardless, he is smart. Because if the guy's hand is down and he does a rip-through move, might hate it. It slows down the game. But you know what? Your hand, you're out of position, and he does the rip-through. And even if it's a side out of bounds, it doesn't matter because that adds fouls and it adds to the bonus. And part of why teams like Philly can rack up a free throw disparity like this is that they put you in the bonus sooner. And a lot of times you can look, and I didn't even do this. I'm just going to check right now. Personal fouls in this game, 29 for the Boston Celtics, 20 for the Philadelphia 76ers. So the Celtics committed 9 more fouls. But 9 more fouls doesn't equal 25 more free throws. It's not like they foul on a bunch of three-pointers. Why does 9 more fouls go and become 25 more free throws? Because those fouls end up in the bonus. And you go back beyond those 9 fouls and you get and ones and whatever. But when you're putting a team in the bonus, and Embiid is very good at putting a team in the bonus, that adds up. I've said that before. Like, I can't sit here and advocate for Jason Tatum figuring out how to get to the line more, because that, for that exact same reason. If you listen to the show on a regular basis, how many times have I said getting to the line more, drawing more fouls is going to help because it puts teams in the bonus. And if you're Jason Tatum and you can put a team in the bonus, you're basically getting assists whenever someone hacks a Grant Williams and he gets 2 at the line because someone had committed a reach-in foul. But Tatum drew 3 fouls earlier in the quarter and helped put the other team in the bonus. Like, that's part of it. This is part of it. And Embiid, by getting those rip-throughs, gets a lot of opportunities in the bonus. Those weren't all shooting fouls. He just gets to the line. Now, does he flail? Yeah, of course he flails. Yeah, he flails. Of course he does. So what? It's annoying, but you want your player to flail if it's going to get you 21 free throw attempts and a 42-point night. Now, after the game, after Smart and after the all of this, Kemba Walker comes in and was the voice of reason.
I mean, for me personally, no, it's fine. I mean, I've been around for a long time. I got a good relationship with a lot of referees. So, you know, I always think I get fouled, to be honest. So what player don't think they get fouled, you know? But, I mean, Embiid is smart, man. He knows how to get fouled. You know, he understands that part of the game. And he's been doing that for a while now, you know, just, you know, having guys, you know, foul him. He's a huge body. You know, it's not much you can do but to foul him sometimes. You know, it's tough. So, you know, we just got to be more conscious. You know, we got to help. We got to help our bigs. You know, and stop Embiid is not a one-on-one thing, you know. That's close to being impossible. You know, you can stop him a few times, but you got to count on your teammates to help, you know, stop that man.
I mean, you can't not love Kemba. Like, I always think I get fouled, to be honest. What player doesn't think they get fouled? And he says, Embiid is smart. Same thing I said. That's just, you have to expect with Embiid that he's going to do that. So on those rip-throughs, don't have your hand down. You know he's going to look for it. Keep your hands up. You know he's going to try the rip-through move. Stand up. Stand your ground. Keep your hands up. Don't swipe down at the ball. Don't do that. Because the second you swipe down at the ball, even if you get all ball, he is going to flail and it's going to look like a foul. You got to be disciplined against Embiid. And like Kemba said, you got to get some help from the teammates. In the playoffs last year, what was very effective against Joel Embiid? The big, Daniel Theis, stayed behind him. And as Embiid is trying to dribble, dribble, dribble and back his way in, the guard would dig down, leave it up to the guard with the quick hands to dig at the ball and make Embiid's life difficult. That's what's supposed to happen. That's how you help out your bigs. That's how you prevent him from getting to the line 100 times a game, because you don't let him spin and get crafty and flail and draw fouls. So, yes, Marcus Smart has a point. You can't win when you're outscored by 23 points at the free throw line. But part of that, while we can say, yes, there were missed calls for the Celtics, sure. But also, the Celtics have to be better at forcing that issue sometimes. And the Celtics have to be better defensively and much more disciplined defensively. So there are little good points to be made all the way around. But that can't be the main focus. And that why I wanted to do the whole thing in the third segment is to make sure that we know that can't always be the main focus. But it's going to be tough against Embiid. And we're going to see it again on Friday. So we'll see how that goes Friday. I've got one more podcast for you this week. And that's going to be tomorrow. I'm going to see what the Celtics say after practice. And we'll get more of an idea of what's going to happen Friday against the Sixers. So make sure you are subscribed to this podcast. And by the way, if you're a Boston person, there's a Locked On Red Sox, Locked On Patriots, Locked On Bruins. Make sure you're subscribed to them too. If you're a Boston sports fan, Locked On Podcast Network has you covered. Now, if you're an NBA fan, just an NBA fan, there's a Locked On for every NBA team as well. So you can always go check them out as well. But if you're just a Boston fan, check out Red Sox, Patriots, and Bruins podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. But as always, if you're new here, please subscribe. You're going to get this show 5 days a week. So It's great to subscribe and get it right to your device. You regular listeners, you know what I love. 5-star ratings, good written reviews, and sharing the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.